it really showcases every member of the band, and it has such a wide variety and range of all the Little Feat material. It's like it's a good primer for anyone who had never heard of Little Feat. Hi, this is Paul Barrere
and Bill Payne
of Little Feat, and you're in the studio.
Well, they say time loves a hero, but only time will tell if he's real. He's a legend from heaven. If he ain't, he was sent from hell.
He's in bad so good, cold out better than a fountain good. Honey, I hate to lose you now.
If only musicians voted for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, then Little Feat would have been inducted 20 years ago on their first ballot. Encompassing every form of Indigenous American music since its inception, clear up to this day, Little Feat was formed by the gifted, enigmatic singer, songwriter, guitarist Lowell George and the ace keyboard player Bill Payne, with Zappa, Mothers of Invention bass player Roy Estrada, then fellow Hollywood High guitarist Paul Barrere, seemingly eight-limbed drummer Richie Hayward, with Kenny Gradney, Sam Clayton, Fred Tackett, Craig Fuller, Sean Murphy to follow. Little Feat's Warner Brothers years fit neatly from the dawn of the 70s to the close of the 80s, and every full album is now included in the Rad Gumbo Brick, including Sailin' Shoes, Dixie Chicken, Feat's Don't Fail Me Now, the last record album, Time Loves a Hero, the essential double live best, Waiting for Columbus, the strong 1988 comeback, Let It Roll, even a rarities disc from Hotcakes and Outtakes. To discuss the colorful period covered by this impressive 13-CD Rad Gumbo set, I was joined by Little Feat co-founder Bill Payne in the studio.
But it is a historical fact that as early as like 1977, superstars like Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones and Bob Seger, they would say in their interviews that if they could play in any other band, it would be Little Feat. And in the late 80s and in the 90s, when you reformed the band, performers as diverse as Bonnie Raitt and even the late Ed Bradley from 60 Minutes would join the band regularly on stage. Now try to step outside yourselves and outside the band for a minute. What is it about Little Feat that makes so many accomplished musicians want to join the band?
I think it's the amount of the breadth of the music we play. You'd have to play in about 10 bands to be able to play the amount of material we do. If you're playing jazz or R&B, blues, country, any form of country, folk music on some occasions. I mean, it's just a roller coaster ride as far as the genres of music that we put together, and sometimes on one song.
Let your memory drift and do nothing at all.
song, Easy to Slip, comes from the second Little Feat album called Sailin' Shoes. Although their music was filled with the sounds of Southern blues, slide guitar, New Orleans syncopation, the original members of Little Feat were all from Southern California. Lowell George went to Hollywood High School. He grew up in a house next door to Errol Flynn, and as a child, he played a harmonica duet with his brother on Ted Mack's Amateur Hour on TV. Lowell George was a musical prodigy, classically trained on the flute and oboe, even playing on some Frank Sinatra recording sessions. In 1968, Lowell George joined Frank Zappa's Mothers of Invention. Little Feat keyboard player Bill Payne remembers how he first met Lowell George.
Lowell George was playing with Frank Zappa's band, the Mothers. He appeared on an album called Weasels Ripped My Flesh. I had called Frank's label, Straight Label, I guess it was called, to try and join the Mothers myself. I was living in Santa Barbara, sleeping on the beach in various apartments that where people would let me stay. And a secretary said, well, Frank's going to Europe, but there's a guy named Lowell George I'll turn you on to. So I said, okay, Lowell George from the Mothers. I don't know who he is, but maybe he can introduce me to Frank. So I go down there and I walk into his apartment. There's like this beautiful blonde-haired girl sitting on the floor. And there's like an Eric Satie album playing. And there's all kinds of books of poetry around this place and some Carl Sandburg and some other stuff. And says, oh, Lowell will be back in a little while. So I sit around and wait. But I was impressed with the guy's book collection, his record collection, and Joyce and the Opposite Sex.
That was all in 1969. Lowell George was looking to form his own band. He'd already recruited drummer Richie Hayward from a band called The Family of Man, and Lowell asked Bill Payne if he was interested in joining.
He says, look, I got this band I'm putting together because Frank doesn't like the song Willing. References to drugs and stuff. He's a little weird on that stuff, Billy. So he asked me to put this band together. Maybe we can sign with his label. Well, as Frank Zappa would have you believe, everything within the next couple of weeks was figured out. We had Roy Estrada, and we went with Warner Brothers, and he helped tidy up the package. It didn't happen like that, Frank. What happened was it was a year and a half later we got Roy Estrada.
I've been warped by the rain, driven by the snow. I'm drunk and dirty, don't you know, and I'm still willing. And I was out on the road late at night. I seen my pretty Alice in every headlight. Alice, Dallas, Alice. And I've been from Tucson to Tucumcari, to Hatchapeake to Tonopah, driven every kind of rig that's ever been made. Driven the back road so I wouldn't get way. If you give me weed, white sand, wine, and you show me a sign, I'll be willing to be moving. I've been kicked by the wind, robbed by the sleet, had my head stoved in, but I'm still on my feet, and I'm still willing. Smuggled some smokes and folks from Mexico, baked by the sun every time I go to Mexico, and I'm still. And I've been from Tucson to Tucumcari, Hatchapeake, Tonopah, driven every kind of rig that's ever been made. Driven the back road so I wouldn't get weighed. And if you give me weed,
States and wine. And you show me a sign, I'll be willing to be moving.
The band wouldn't sign a record deal until 1970, spending nearly a year rehearsing and writing songs, according to Bill Payne.
I'm asked, Lowell, well, why aren't we playing live? Why don't we, you know, we got a couple guys, let's go out and play live somewhere. He goes, we're not gonna play any place live until this thing is ready. You know, we'll serve no wine before it's time. So it was roughly about a year and a half later that we went out to Warner Brothers. We met Ahmet Ertegun from Atlantic Records, president. We play him this array of tunes. And he goes, boys, it's too diverse. Now, you listen to the first album, tell me if it's not a diverse record. That was the material we came up after we talked to Ahmet. So you can imagine how off the wall the first stuff was. We went into Warner Brothers, Lowell and I. We played them, I believe it was 10 or 12 tunes. Lowell had an acoustic guitar, and we went out and did a song and dance routine for about 30, 40 minutes. They said, we'll sign you up.
Lady in a turban, cocaine tree, does it dance so rhythmically? She's crying and singing and having a time. Gee, that cocaine tree look fine. You gotta put on your sailing shoes. Put on your sailing shoes. Everyone will start to cheer when you put on your sailing shoes. Jedediah, he's got a dime. Says he catches more fish every time. I got a line, you got a pole. Well, I'll meet you at the fishing hole. You gotta put on your sailing shoes. Put on your sailing shoes. Everyone will hear parade. So bad, yeah. This is the worst day I ever had. He said, have you this misery? A very long time. Cause I'll give you a gift, I'll lay it on the line. You gotta put on your sailing shoes. Put on your sailing.
Sailin' Shoes, Little Feat's second album, was released in 1972. Like the first, it was something less than a hit, according to Bill Payne.
We were asked to do a second album, which I was incredulous that they'd even ask us to do the second one, because the album only sold, I think, 11,000 copies. The second album, Sailin' Shoes, only sold 13,000, maybe 17 tops. This is the initial sales, okay? What I thought at that time was, again, the thing is over. We're in New York City, in Ganos. Our big debut in New York. It's day after New Year's, 1971. There are two paying customers in the gig. There are two paying customers at this club. They have the guy has a tuxedo on, the girl's in full formal attire. They're doing ballroom dancing to our music, which I thought was a little odd, to say the least. I go back to the hotel room. I'm like in tears. I'm like frustrated, pissed off, angry, confused, and belittled. Then we got down to Texas about 2 weeks later, and we met these women down there, and I thought, maybe touring's not so bad after all.
Welcome back to In the Studio. I'm Paul Barrera of Little Feet.
I'm Billy Payne of Little Feet. Welcome back to In the Studio.
Way back in 74, you launched the late Robert Palmer's solo career by not only letting him cover Sailin' Shoes, but by being his studio band on Sneakin' Sally Through the Alley. But you two have never told me the story behind how that actually happened, how Robert Palmer joined the band, so to speak. Would you give me that story?
Absolutely. And in actuality, we weren't the band behind Robert on Sneakin' Sally Through the Alley. That was the Meters and Lowell. And that came about when Lowell was actually down in New Orleans, and he hooked up with Robert down there, and he'd actually played on a Meters record, and although he didn't get credit for it, but they wound up doing those tracks there. But that was the impetus for having Robert come to Hunt Valley, Maryland, to record Pressure Drop, where we were his backup band.
So it was the second album where the
it was the second album
where the whole band was on was the studio band,
and had the great cover.
Don't get me started. I'll get distracted. Great cover, one of the all time.
Yeah, one of the best
rear view covers.
Yeah.
Yes.
perennial live opening song for Little Feat, Fat Man in the Bathtub, features the syncopated drumming of the late Richie Hayward and the soulful lead vocal of the late Lowell George from March 1978's double live album, Waiting for Columbus. Little Feat, it seems, was a band constantly on the verge of breaking up. And one of the biggest reasons for the turmoil was the unpredictable behavior of Lowell George. Bill Payne remembers a particular incident in Cincinnati.
Something happened with the gear at this place. And Lowell decides to go ice skating. So I go, I better follow him to make sure he gets back. We get back 2 hours later or something because the cab's taking us back to the gig. He can't find a place. I'm going, stop the cab. We jump out. I go, there's the gig. And we run over to the gig. Roy Estrada is like fuming. He is, I mean, beside himself with hate for us because they got the gear started right after we left. And we're like 2 hours late. We'd been trying to talk Roy Estrada into staying with the group forever because he just, you know, Roy'd been with the Mothers. He thought, well, maybe this isn't such a hot idea. But that sealed it, I'm sure, for Roy. I knew we were going to lose him after that. And we did. So we got back, and Lowell goes, don't worry about a thing, as he was often prone to say. We brought in Paul as a guitar player, and we started auditioning bass players. Kenny Gradney came up to my house. The guy is extremely sure of himself. And I'm thinking, well, we'll see about that. I start throwing him all this stuff. The guy is like playing it back to me as fast as I can give it to him. He has a memory that's unlike anybody I've ever met before. He goes, I got a friend named Sam Clayton I want to introduce to the band. We'll go, fine. Our first gig's in Hawaii. So Clayton comes over there for that. There's 200,000 people in the audience or something ridiculous. I mean, these guys see stars in their eyes, and Clayton wants to join. When our second gig was at the Fox Theater in Long Beach, I believe. And a great show. I mean, we had a tape of this thing for years, and with the band, this sounded astounding. These guys did what this band needed and what Lowell knew they would, which is revitalize our group. And Dixie Chicken is a result of that revitalization.
I've seen the bright lights of Memphis and the Commodore Hotel. And underneath the street lamp, I met a Southern Belle. Well, she took me to the river where she cast her spell. And in that Southern moonlight, she sang this song.
Bartender, the city knew well.
Chicken album from Little Feat, released in 73, was a turning point for the band. The addition of Sam Clayton, Kenny Gradney, and particularly guitarist Paul Barrere marked a subtle shift in the band's musical emphasis, a slight lessening of Lowell George's role. Here's Paul Barrere.
We made Dixie Chicken. We thought it was a great record. We went out to start to promote it. There wouldn't be records in the stores. We got dressed up in chicken suits and busboy outfits and so forth and went around to Atlanta radio stations with carrying these little boxes of chicken that had the face of the lady from the Dixie Chicken album and said finger picking good on it and stuff. I mean, we did these crazy little things and still there was no records in the stores. We were out humping it, and there wasn't the communication or the coordinated effort between band management and record company that is needed in order to market a product. It made Lowell very antagonistic towards the company, towards management, to where cooperation was never a catchphrase in our vocabulary. Another thing went down in a strange occurrence right after that, after we had gotten off the road and we were thinking of disbanding and so forth. The management came in all of a sudden with this great idea to break up Little Feat, take Lowell, Billy, and Richie and match them up with one of the Everly Brothers and John Sebastian and make a super, you know, Crosby, Stills, and Nash group, you know. So Sam and Kenny and I were sitting around going,
Well, Lowell's idea was, look, we'll do it. We'll do the album with these guys, and we'll take the money, and we'll reform Little Feat. I mean, it was so bizarre. I'm like, I'm just sitting there going, I don't know what the heck we're doing.
Oh Atlanta features Paul Barrera on vocal, Bill Payne on tack piano, and the late Lowell George on slide guitar, originally from the 1974 studio album Feats Don't Fail Me Now. And with Bill Payne and Paul Barrera sharing the band's direction, that album sold 10 times more than earlier efforts.
Welcome back to In the Studio. I'm Paul Barrera of Little Feat.
I'm Billy Payne of Little Feat. Welcome back to In the Studio.
Little Feat, to me, encompasses all music at all time. It's kind of a zen organization. Probably the best Little Feat album, not only from sales, but just from something that portrayed the band, has to be Waiting for Columbus, the live record, because it really showcases every member of the band, and it has such a wide variety and range of all the Little Feat material. It's like it's a good primer for anyone who had never heard of Little Feat. If you put that record on, you would definitely see where the band was coming from. Everywhere.
It was a frustrating time for everyone in Little Feat, made even more difficult by Lowell George's drug use. It was especially trying for Bill Payne, who had no use for drugs or their consequences.
He had a very pure attitude. I caught just a glimpse of that in Lowell when I first met him. I mean, he was already starting to take a slide, but there was a part of Lowell that was, I don't know, just his knowledge or his thirst for knowledge in life. I mean, that's what keeps everybody going. Inevitably, you're asking the right questions, and I think what Lowell reinforced in me, it was an idea to keep searching, keep things going. It's fine to like and appreciate a number of different things, include those into your music if you feel like it. Take a left turn. Lowell had all those features going for him. He was totally enigmatic, which is what he wanted to be, and I'm sure would love to be remembered for being. That's to him what an artist was. It's dark, light, bad, good, pain. He's experienced a lot of hurt.
Kind of so no more.
Although Down on the Farm and Hoy Hoy were released after Lowell George's death, the Waiting for Columbus album, the live album, may be a more fitting epitaph. Released in 1978, it showed Lowell and Little Feat at their best. Jackson Browne once called Lowell George the Orson Welles of rock and roll. Waiting for Columbus is ample evidence of the genius and the lasting power of the band that he formed, Bill Payne of Little Feat.
It was one of the first live albums that sounded really great. Now, quite frankly, we did a lot of overdubs on it. I mean, a lot of vocals were replaced. Some guitars were done here and there. I snipped a couple of solos that I liked from other performances and put them into, like, Dixie Chicken. It's almost like Little Feat, when we're at our wildest, is in a free fall, or like you're going along a track and it could go off that track at any second. And yet the guys miraculously keep it on the track. It's just wild. It's wild music. And when I heard it right before I went on a vacation, I had tears in my eyes. I thought, man, we have finally put something together that sounds like us. Lowell couldn't screw it up. I couldn't screw it up with getting mad at Lowell. And great.